Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Jhené Angola Jr. reminding you, check out ESPN Audio at Home by telling Alexa to play news from ESPN. ESPN Audio at Home is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes from customization and service to assistance. Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything, and we're ready for NFL opening night, Jhené. It is Jhené Egbuemeke. It is Mike Golic Jr., and we've got NFL's 2020 season finally kicking off. We finally made it here, and it is amazing. As Jhené, I know you've been with NBA Twitter for a while now. You guys have a good, steady thing going. I feel like in the interest of your year of NFL side pieces, talking about supporting the New England Patriots, talking about supporting the Arizona Cardinals a little bit, in addition to the Houston Texans you're proudly repping today, I feel like NFL Twitter could be a nice side piece for you in the social space.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And that's where it comes down to my main piece. I guess it's not a main piece. It's like the main part of it, like the, what is it, the entree,
the meat? Yeah, the meat and potatoes.
The meat and the potatoes here. I'm super excited just because, you know, we are underdogs in this equation, but to have stability, because the Houston Texans, we have been on, I feel like, this carousel that's moving and moving, especially with our quarterbacks. And now the timing is perfect for us to have that stability, to have that generational talent that is the most important position for our team. Now, obviously, we lost Hop, and losing Hop, that hurts. That hurts for me especially, but to see what Coach O'Brien, I guess the decision he made was, let's invest in the quarterback position and also not be so one-dimensional with our targets, because Hop was 30% of the targets. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the offense reacts, and also how Deshaun reacts, especially considering he now has that peace of mind knowing that he's good. He's paid. But you know who also has that peace of mind? Patrick Mahomes.
The guy on the other side of the field, the combined $633 million of quarterback money that's going to be on display tonight, as tweeted by our own Adam Schefter earlier in the day. And so you're right, though, that stability there. And what they do now, Deshaun Watson's exactly the kind of leader and human being that you feel comfortable investing in. And not saying there's going to be someone that takes their foot off the gas now, anything but, I feel like the friendship that we've seen well documented with him and Patrick Mahomes certainly only probably furthers his competitive desire, because as much as these guys seem to be very sincere friends, Jhené, and a lot of the documents about that are pretty cool to read, I'm sure there's still a ton of competitive fire. These guys are high-level competitors, and he sees what Mahomes has, namely that Super Bowl ring and that league MVP, and says, I want some of that action.
Well, his coach did call him the Michael Jordan of football, right? But one thing I've really discovered, especially the last few months during quarantine, watching The Last Dance, there are not many Michael Jordans out there that use personal rivalries like to fuel them to success. Now we're in the age where we're young people. We train together. We train with different sports. And so there are synergies that actually can help elevate your game. We're seeing this. Well, we saw it, which was pretty cool, in real time when the Portland Trailblazers played the Lakers, where we had the Carmelo and LeBron moment. You could play against each other and still get the best out of each other, and that's the nature in which the game is here right now, and that's the difference.
And that's what we hope is coming up tonight, as we maybe get the best quarterback matchup of the season right on in week one, right on opening night on Thursday night. It's Jhené Egbuemeke Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we got six numbers you need to know heading into this NFL season that we want to get to and try and wrap our arms around. That is all coming up in about 10. Plus, we got an old friend joining us. We'll call him a friend. I mean, I guess technically if we're calling Dan Orlovsky our Uncle Dan, this guy is literally my dad. So Michael Sr. going to join us in about a half hour here on the show. OG, triple OG, as he gets ready to get back in the booth in college football this weekend. And we know he's excited. But Jhené, we've mentioned every once in a while sports delves into an area that's far more serious than anything that happens on the field. And it became that situation. Dak Prescott was pretty public in an interview that's going to, I understand, air on TV pretty soon, talking about what he went through this offseason. He lost his brother this offseason and talked about dealing with that death, dealing with that tragedy for their family, and said, although this quarantine and this offseason, I started to experience emotions I've never felt before, anxiety for the main one, and then honestly, a couple days before my brother passed, I would say I started experiencing depression, and to the point of I didn't want to work out anymore. I didn't know necessarily what I was going through, to say the least, and hadn't been sleeping at all, openly talking about his bouts with depression and those dark feelings that come with loss and grief. And so I think certainly, first and foremost, before we get to anything else, acknowledging someone with Dak Prescott's platform, someone with his prestige inside a gladiator sport like football, saying this is certainly humbling that he would choose to share that, but important for people to hear.
Yeah, I think when it comes to sports, there are certain sports where, you know, whether you're a fan of it or you're a player of it, you embody each other. And when you put that helmet on, it's a super macho thing. Like, you are going into a situation where you are colliding and you're tougher and all that type of stuff. But for him to, without his helmet, you know, and just be vulnerable and to talk through his feelings, that is going to move mountains for so many people in the sport, but also in society, period, because he has dealt with, I know a lot of people see the glitz and the glamour and the celebrity lifestyle, but he has dealt with the pressure of that and also the personal situation that he's in. To speak on that is going to do so many great things, because that is exactly what these athletes have been saying the last few months. We are humans too.
And acknowledging that humanity is something that has been encouraging, because we've seen a lot more of that, and we've seen a lot more people be accepting of that in ways that weren't before, especially around men. You know this, Chinee, like the stigma around men being vulnerable in public is one that's longstanding, and that's why some comments made by Skip Bayless earlier today have been getting rightly shot into the sun on the internet, quite frankly, for how problematic and awful they were. And when asked about this very subject, Dak opening up about his feelings, Skip Bayless said, "I have deep compassion for clinical depression, but when it comes to the quarterback of an NFL team, you know this better than I do, the ultimate leadership position in sports, am I right about that? You're commanding an entire franchise, and they're all looking at you to be their CEO in charge of that football team. Because of all that, I don't have any sympathy for him going public with, I got depressed. I suffered from depression early in COVID to the point that I didn't want to go out. Look, he's the quarterback of America's team, and in this sport, if you reveal any weakness, it can affect your team's ability to believe in you." Like, it's just so backwards. And Chinee, the one good thing that I can say is coming from this is seeing the reaction to these comments. There's been no one even broaching that. It has been a universal rejection of some archaic Stone Age knuckle dragging thinking that goes along with this subject that we used to see.
You said it. Dak's brother died in April of apparent suicide, according to Dak. Dak came out and said that he battled depression. Comments like that are extremely, extremely dangerous for that exact reason, because it sort of makes it seem like this is no longer real. And I feel like we're at the point where we're past pretending that, you know, like you mentioned, previous generations, this is not something that is real. This is real. You're hearing it. You called him out. He's the leader of America's franchise. If he's saying it and you believe him when he's on the field doing his job, why not believe him when he's in the press conference talking about his personal life? That's where you have to keep that same energy. We are past the point of thinking that this is something that someone else is making up. And you can't separate the athlete from the human being, because it's a human being that's wearing the jersey, that's trying to go and be vulnerable, speaking from their experience. So it blows my mind, but it also gives me so much hope that so many people can call this horrible bluff.
And I think when you talk about Dak, the part about all of this with him being willing to open up, and we always talk about this, idolizing sports figures is always a pretty tough area for me, because you don't know these people truly. You see what's put out there in public, but nonetheless, they've got influence. You as an athlete have influence. We with this platform have influence, right, wrong, or indifferent. And so the way that you go about using that, for some kid out there, seeing Dak Prescott have the ability to talk about this publicly might legitimately save a life. Like, I don't think that's hyperbole in the way that this stuff's traditionally been dealt with. You've seen outpourings of stories of people who waited too long to address the feelings that they were dealing with on stuff like this. And when you've got public figures, again, that wear these uniforms, that go out here and play this violent gladiator sport that we celebrate and idolize in this country, like, to see that guy be willing to say the thing is huge. And it's why there's an opportunity here for Skip on the other end to learn and remedy his thinking on this subject, because he's got a platform, because he's one of the biggest names in this industry. And the things that he's saying, that's why this is dangerous and toxic, and stamping
exactly
out now is important, because that guy's got reach and that guy's got to know that ain't it anymore.
And I'm hoping that, you know, I always talk about being from the great state of Texas, and we're talking about the Texans matchup, but Cowboys, that nation runs deep. Like, it's global, it's worldwide. And so I'm hoping that the Cowboys, everyone that's part of the Cowboys fandom, sends Dak a lot of love. and shows that you've got his back, because by doing so, you give him the confidence to continue speaking his voice and standing in his own truth. And that, to me, is the most important part of it all.
Feelings of depression, talk about suicidal feelings, all these things are important. If you ever are experiencing those things, reach out to the proper people, love up everybody around you, understand that these are difficult things to talking about, but hopefully things like this, things like what Dak did in this situation, can chip away at a lot of that stigma and help a lot of people get the help that they need in situations like this that can be so dire. Lots more to get into back on the football field, but this stuff is important. You can't shy away from it. Every little bit hopefully helps getting us to a better place with all of this. We'll be back with more NFL in a second. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Now, Cliff, I need you to co-sign this for me, because when I hear this song, I will never not think of the 2017, like Dreams and Nightmares by Meek Mills. I will never not think of the 2017 Eagles team getting buck in that end zone on that video that went live on Twitter. That might be the hypest football team I've ever seen.
100%. And it's crazy because this song came out like 5 years before that, but I think it was because Meek was in jail, so therefore it made it like a bigger thing. And then obviously, you know, Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl, and then that was one of the greatest days ever.
And the process and the process was getting turned also in Philly. Good times. Well, I mean,
it was back the then. Yeah, it was good times.
There was hope. There was hope.
There's always hope. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. ESPN Radio guest join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get Pops on there. Mike Ngolick Sr. is going to come hang out with us. Chinay, I tell you this, God's honest truth. This man, I went out to two meals with him over the weekend. He is bursting at the seam with takes right now. There's a good chance we don't get a word in. So if you've been dying for some takes from Mike Sr.,
yes,
I promise he's got all of that and then some heading into NFL Week 1.
I cannot wait. I can't.
It's going to be exciting stuff. And we are getting ready. We're getting hype. Chiefs Texans tonight, 8 o'clock. It's going to be unbelievable. But this entire season, there's going to be a lot to look forward to here. And by the numbers, I think it's going to be something pretty spectacular. So, I mean, we're going to reinvent the wheel here on radio and do a little something called over-under on here. Just the bet alone. My body is so ready. Devin, got some numbers for us?
I got you. All right, first up, over-under 29.5 touchdown passes for Tom Brady.
All right, so Tom Brady's failed the top 30 TDs in three of the last 4 years with the Pats. Interesting enough, looking at Jameis Winston and his stats for the last run he had in Tampa Bay, only top 30 touchdown passes last year in that offense. The same season he went 30 for 30. So, Chinay, what are you going here?
No, you first.
I'm going to go over on this one, actually. I know for Tommy, there's been a lot of questions about him getting older, 43-year-old quarterback, but I think the weapons on this offense, the synergy, and the relationship him and Bruce Arians have already developed, I think it's going to be the perfect mix of doing the things that he likes and does well with way better weapons than he's had in years.
Yeah, especially last year, if that was a criticism of the Patriots and the offense, it was that they didn't have enough weapons, and now you switch it over, and it's a plethora. Do we know Mike Evans' status?
Mike Evans, not sure yet. I know he's been dealing with a hamstring injury during the course of this week. I haven't seen their injury report today.
Either way, if he's out there, he's a bonus and he's a boost. So I'm going to go over as well.
Look at that. Over. Two overs to start the day.
Life's too short, man.
All right, next up, over under 8.5 receiving touchdowns for DeAndre Hopkins.
This one's an easy over for me, Chinay, going out to that Arizona offense that I think is primed to take a bump in a lot of ways. Adding a piece like that with already a Hall of Famer in Larry Fitzgerald, Christian Kirk, who's coming along on there, unquestioned number one. He's gone double-digit touchdowns two of the last 3 years. Give me the over yet again.
I'm going to just keep it simple here, because when you just get paid, you want to perform. And so once you get paid, you're going to be a high target. You guys know that this is my side piece team. And also with Kyler Murray, this is what Mina Kimes said. I have an eye on this team that could really put some numbers up, and Coach Cliff Kingsbury as well. They're all about offense, so I'm going over as well.
Love it. All right, here we go. We'll see him in action tonight. Over under 4,699.5 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
All right, so we're splitting the difference here, Chinay, because in 2018, Mahomes put up 5,097 yards in his first season as a starter, that MVP season. Last year, he only had 4,031. Now, he missed essentially three games last year, knocked out early in that Denver game, and missed the next two with that knee injury. So where are you going here?
Man, I was thinking more even, but I actually might just go under, because I think if they're talking Super Bowl, they want to make sure they conserve him and conserve his arm, and especially getting Edwards-Hilaire, like, it's going to be important to get him going and feeling confident, because that will be the reason why he will be able to pass so much, having the good run game established, and also like the diversity of their offense. So I'm going under just because they're going to play it safe. They're going to play the long game, but they're also going to put up points, and it might just not be the same way we saw it last year.
I might be misremembering some things, but I feel like Mahomes was dealing with a little bit of a calf early on before that. In that season, he didn't look quite himself, and he came back after, and his mobility is an underrated part of his game, and when he can add that, I think it opens up so much for that offense. I'm going to go over on this one. I don't know if we'll get past $5,000 again this season, but I think it's over that around 4,700 mark. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today.
Next up, over under 4.5 wins for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, why are we doing this? This is easy for me. I'm going to have to go under. Why? Win never for Trevor. Win never for Trevor. I think this is a team that clearly is gutting. You got a sixth round quarterback. And honestly, you know, losing Leonard Fournette and also Yannick Ngakoue, like those are big losses that is going to be really tough for them. So I don't think we're here. I mean, I'm not thinking they're going to go more than 4 or 5 wins.
You know what? I'm gonna say over on this one.
Oh, snap!
And just barely over, and I'll tell you why. Because Gardner Minshew's got some Ryan Fitzpatrick to him. And if you're looking to tank, I think you had the wrong quarterback walk into the saloon for this one. We saw last year with the Dolphins, it looked like it was all tank for Tua. And then a funny thing happened. A chain-wearing Ryan Fitzpatrick saunters into the saloon and says, nah. I'm going to go ahead here and just recklessly throw my body into the end zone. Minshew Mania's got some of that. I think too many mustaches, too little time. I think they get the over on that one.
Headband game on point.
Truth.
All right, from one of the worst teams to one of the best, over under 11.5 wins for the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, so they won a league-high 14 games in 2019. They last won at least 11 games back-to-back in 2010-2011. So I say that not too long ago, even though that's a decade ago now, which is terrifying.
Y'all, you're putting me a bind because I got Lamar Jackson as my fantasy quarterback, but I'm looking at their division. Big Ben's back. Joe Burrow's out there. I don't know if they're still going to do stuff, but at least he'll make them better. The Browns, they're going to be better, hopefully, than they were last year. So I might go under.
You know what? I think I'm going to go under, too, just because I think Pittsburgh's going to make that division a dogfight on this one. Earl Thomas not being there, I know it's probably going to be the right move for their locker room, but that's still something that's going to have to get addressed on that defense, even as talented as that secondary is with some of the D-line help they got. Going 14 wins and essentially 12 wins in back-to-back seasons would be a very Patriot-esque move, and I don't think they have the division necessarily to be cut out. That's still one of the top teams in the league. I think still my pick to win the AFC North, but coming with a little tougher price tag this time around. All right, we got to plenty of good stuff there. Coming up next, though, all of the fire that has been sitting in my father's gray beard is about to be unleashed on the show coming up here next.
Salt and pepper's here.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my
Salt and pepper's here.
My quarantine thirst-trapping father joins us next after this word from 303 Protectant. Just
it's
like
not father.
Skin.
That's not the word. What's the word?
No, don't do it. Okay, say it. Just say it.
Zaddy.
I hate
not from me.
So many of my colleagues so much for introducing that into the universe. Just like your skin, the sun's harmful UV rays can be damaging to your vehicle too. 303 Protectant keeps vinyl, rubber, and plastic surfaces from fading, cracking, or deteriorating over time. Simply spray on and wipe dry. You get protection that lasts you up to 30 days. Use it on your dashboard, your console, your leather seats, hell, even your tires. 303 has been the trusted brand for over 40 years, and they're the official car care products of Mecum Auctions. Available at O'Reilly, AutoZone, and Advance Auto Parts. Visit 303automotive.com for more information. Back after this, my dad on Chinay Ngolick Jr.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
That sound can only mean one thing, that the old man sounder is waiting and lurking just around the corner. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. And we got a lot of football that we're getting ready for. Tonight, we know we got the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans kicking off the NFL season. But this Saturday at noon Eastern, you can check out Louisiana taking on Iowa State. And on the call, along with Tom Hart and Cole Kublik, will be Mike Ngolick Sr. Dad joins us now on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. What's up, Dad?
Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. You can't expect me not to sing that. Come on.
No. Thank you. People shame me for singing on this show, so I'm glad that you have the spirit too, singer.
You sing. You sing, Chanae. You let it fly. You just let it go.
Now, Dad, we're letting it all go out here, and you've been letting it go. I had like two meals with you this weekend, and you have been spewing takes endlessly right now. You are backed up with them, and so we're getting ready to go for night one of the NFL right now. What are the thoughts and feelings as you get ready for the first NFL game coming off the pandemic?
About $600 million worth of quarterback salary. I mean, seriously, did we ever think we would get something like that from a couple of players outside of baseball or basketball? We never thought we'd get that. And we got it in football, and in all honesty, nobody is surprised. While it still was an eye-opening amount for Mahomes, nobody was shocked a guy like that is going to get that kind of money. And then by the time we get to the football, we always talk about the beginning of the season, even with a couple of preseason games, even though the starters don't play much, are you going to see some bad football for the first couple of weeks? And so now what happens? Now we've had no OTAs, we've had no training camp, we've had no scrimmages, no teams practicing against one another. So how is this football going to look? I mean, I don't want to compare NFL and college, but man, you see what BYU did to Navy when Navy hadn't been doing a lot of teamwork, not a lot of tackling. They just got physically thumped in that game. Do you want me to keep going? I can keep going. You guys can take a break if you want.
Let it fly, man. We're here to help you get these takes out, man. We figured you've got them all going for days on this, but it is interesting. You talk about all the differences and variances that we've seen through the course of college, and the one thing that I see popping up a lot, Dad, are hamstrings on injury report, a lot of these soft tissue injuries. So how big a concern is that for this league right now, trying to get going and keeping your stars on the field?
Listen, this is huge. When we were finishing up, you know, Golic and Wingo, those couple of months when all the sports were just starting to come back, what all three of us said? We all said soft tissue injuries, hamstrings, calves, quads. You know, those are the things you're going to have to worry about. What's one thing that we all three of us can relate to as athletes? We're used to routines. We're used to an itinerary. We're used to at certain times of year doing certain things. This year, that all got thrown out the window. So now, when players are used to having basically being told or shown what to do, even pro athletes, and when to do it, this is like old school. This is like when I first started out, you actually had to work out on your own. You were given a book and you had to follow it. And it was just a matter of how hard you worked and how much of that book you followed. Well, that's what a lot of players had to go through, and throw in the fact that they didn't have facilities to go to. You know, like you said, I'm getting ready to do a game, Louisiana and Iowa State. There's a couple, no shocker, Mike, offensive linemen on Iowa State who grew up on farms, and to train, they were working the family farms during the pandemic because they had to stay at home. So they're going back, instead of working out with their team like they normally do, they're working the farm. You're trying to find any way to try and work out so your body isn't as ready as it would normally be, or you're used to it being at that point. So I do think that can lead to more soft tissue injuries.
Talking to my dad, Mike Golic Sr., going to be on the call for Iowa State and Louisiana this weekend, Saturday, noon Eastern, as he just mentioned. And we want to get to more of the farm nuggets from this game that you've been getting ready for. It's the first time you've gotten a chance to call a game without doing radio, doing TV shows, all these other things around here. And so sinking your teeth into it into a very new way. But just curious, as you look big picture at this NFL season, who's a team or a player that you're interested or excited to watch that maybe isn't getting as much love as the Chiefs, the Saints, some of the obvious choices?
Well, I mean, as far as a person, it's Chanae's, you know, side piece, Cam Newton.
Let's go.
Listen, that's the storyline, right? I mean, isn't the storyline what Bill is going to do without Tom and what Tom is going to do without Bill? So you have a new quarterback running that system in New England that we've seen Brady run for so long, but a defense that has been absolutely decimated out there. So That I think is one of the biggest, without question, storylines out there, and I'm excited. If Cam Newton is healthy, you know, we actually may see a quarterback run and do damage running outside of Tom Brady's great quarterback sneaks, seeing an athletic quarterback really run. As far as a team and a player, I know a lot of people are talking about Arizona with DeAndre Hopkins going there, Kyler Murray a quarterback, saying possible MVP. Listen, I love the direction they're going. But you know the MVP is normally on a team that going into the playoffs is one of the highest, you know, record team out there and one of the best teams. While I think Arizona is going in the right direction, I don't think they're going to be that team. I still think Seattle and I still think San Francisco may be ahead of them. The arrow's going up and Kyler Murray may be in that discussion in a couple of years, but I don't think right now, just like the team, everybody last year said the Cleveland Browns are the team that's going to make it to the playoffs. And I remember saying on the radio, whoa on that. I think they're at least a year away. And I might be saying that about Arizona. A lot of people think they may surprise this year. And there is that extra spot in the playoffs that they can make it into. But I think that they still might be a year away, still need some help in some areas.
Now, Singer, it's funny because you mentioned two of my side piece teams, Arizona, New England, and that's in sports. But when it comes to the show, my main piece is your son, Junior. Any tips for me for dealing with this show and dealing with this amazing guy who happens to be, like, so fun to deal with? But, like, you have to have some kind of advice for me considering that you're his father.
Yes, I do. Send him sweets. Whenever you think, you know, things are going tough or it's going to be a tough show, call someone on the crew who's there in Bristol and make sure they pick up something at Donut Crazy or some Carvel ice cream, you know, the fudgy whale, something like that, and make sure you deliver it right before the show. And I guarantee you he will have a smile on his face the whole time. The way to a Golic's heart is food, normally sweets.
Like you say, their stomach. Usually round sweets in the shape of circles and rings, donuts around our house are a pretty well-known, well-documented part of the brand in all of this. All right, Dad, I want to give you the opportunity here. I don't know if you've got one yet for this NFL season, but we know the God's Green Earth has been a part of, and a staple of your brand now for a while. And so if you've got a God's Green Earth, I want you to unleash it here. And if not, you can save it for when you come back again soon and get into the breakdown of what you expect to see from Louisiana and from Iowa State this weekend in your game. So this is a dealer's choice for you right now.
There is no way on God's green earth, I hate to say it, Mitch Trubisky finishes as quarterback of the Bears this year.
There we go.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one.
I don't know how that gets the old man sounder, Cliff.
Yeah, I wonder. Cliff was just itching to do that because he hasn't done it in so long.
And I haven't done that in so long. I was waiting for it. But honestly, man, appreciate my time working with you, Goldstein. You're a legend in the game, man.
Cliff, all you guys, Cliff, Allie, Devin, all of you, man. It was an absolute joy. And like I said, I'll still be around a little bit to bug you guys.
Absolutely. So we got a God's green earth. Mitchell Trubisky will not finish the season for the Chicago Bears as a starting quarterback. And now, Dad, you are on call for a game this weekend. And this is what you did all when I was growing up. I grew up watching you call college football games. And now you're back in the booth. It's you, Tom Hart, and Cole Kublik on the call for Louisiana and Iowa State. So what should people look forward to at noon Eastern on Saturday?
All right. Iowa State looking to crack into the upper echelon of the Big 12. Their quarterback, Brock Purdy, by Todd McShay, is ranked the fifth best quarterback to be draft eligible next year if he comes out. How about this tight end room? And all these tight ends play a ton. Sometimes they start with three tight ends. Two guys 6'7", the other 6'6", and one of the better tight ends in the country. And of the two or three starting receivers, one is 6'6", the other is 6'3". They have to be some of the tallest receiver and tight ends I've ever seen in the country. So Brock Purdy, ranked very high this year, has some big, big targets to throw to, and he's going to use them.
Awesome stuff to look forward to there from a big-time NFL hopeful. Brock Purdy, absolutely a name for people to keep on the radar coming up this spring. Again, noon Eastern, Saturday, Louisiana and Iowa State. Dad, back in the booth and back on the airwaves with us here.
Can't wait. And I want to say thank you so much because all of the things that you have done have created opportunities, not just for me, but also your son. You have really been a game changer for all of us. We appreciate you, and we want you back here as much as we can.
As much as you want me to, I will be back. I love the show. Love what you guys do, and I want Cliff to have a chance to play the old man sounder every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Only right way to go out. Only thing we demand next time is more pug action in this one, Dad. So make sure you get that fixed for next time.
All right, you got it.
Perfect. All right, see you, Dad. We'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Mike Golic Sr. with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line again. Iowa State, Louisiana, noon Eastern, Brock Purdy, guys bailing hay, come get you some. We'll wrap this up and keep that same energy and get you with some breaking news from one of our very own around here at the Worldwide Leader. We'll get to all that next at Shenangola Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
As we head up to kickoff of the 2020 NFL season, Chiefs and Texans tonight at 8 Eastern. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. What happens before that may be just as big a subject for a lot of people. We know the NFL made it public that they were going to go and play two anthems, the national anthem that everyone is used to hearing, and I'm blanking on the name right
Lift
now.
Every voice Lift and Every sing, Voice and what Sing, what is commonly considered the black national anthem in our culture.
And playing both of those anthems before the game tonight, and we were unsure about how teams were going to react to this. The Chiefs and the Texans had hinted that they had plans to demonstrate in some way together but weren't going to disclose what. We know both of these quarterbacks, remember, had been strong voices when the players initially this summer, after the killing of George Floyd, put out that video that they tweeted at the league together as a group that made so many waves and that sparked a lot of what we've seen now from action from these NFL players and teams. And so, Janae, I think a lot of eyes are going to be on how players choose to respond in these moments before the game.
Yeah, and you know, that's the difficulty of having such a large league with so many different teams. It's not like you can probably have one cohesive moment of solidarity, but having conversations, as we've seen happen over the last few weeks with these teams, they're going to probably respond accordingly, and it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do.
It is going to be very interesting, and what happens tonight, we know it's because two of these quarterbacks are the most prominent faces in the league, and so everything that they do is going to be watch and matter. And they, oh, by the way, happen to be two black quarterbacks,
exactly.
Two guys who are very much strong voices behind this cause. We had some breaking news, though, from our own Jay Williams saying the Miami Dolphins players will stay inside for both national anthems this weekend. They expressed their discontent with what they called fluff and empty gestures by the NFL. Here was their statement.
Is it authentic? That's the mystery.
Or is it just another symbolic victory?
Now there's two anthems. Do we kneel? Do we stand?
If we could just right our wrongs, we wouldn't need two songs.
We don't need another publicity parade.
So we'll just stay inside.
Until it's time to play the game.
Whatever happened to the funds that were promised? All of a sudden we got a collapsed pocket?
The bottom line should not be the net profit.
You can't open your heart when it's controlled by your wallet.
Decals and patches?
Fireworks and trumpets?
We're not puppets.
Don't publicize false budgets. Ask the pundits, and we shouldn't have a say.
If you speak up for change, then I'll shut up and play.
If we remain silent, that would just be selfish.
Since they don't have a voice, we're speaking up for the helpless.
It's not enough to act like you care for the troops.
Millions for pregame patriotism. You get paid to salute.
Lift every voice and sing.
It's just a way to save face.
Lose the mask and stop hiding the real game face.
So if my dad was a soldier, but the cops killed my brother, do I stand for one anthem and then kneel for the other?
This attempt to unify only creates more divide.
So we'll skip the song and dance.
And as a team, we'll stay inside.
We need changed hearts, not just a response to pressure.
Enough. No more fluff and empty gestures.
We need owners with influence and pockets bigger than ours.
To call up officials.
And flex political power.
When education is not determined by where we reside.
And we have the means to purchase what the doctor prescribed.
And you fight for prison reform and innocent lives.
And you repair the communities that were tossed to the side.
And you admit you gained from it and you swallowed your pride.
And when greed is not the compass, but love is the guide.
And when the courts don't punish skin color, but punish the crime.
Until then, we'll just skip the long production and stay inside.
For centuries, we've been trying to make you aware.
Either you're in denial or just simply don't really care.
It's not a black-white thing.
Or a left-right thing.
Let's clean the whole bird.
And stop arguing about which wing.
And you
Before
heard
the media starts wondering and guessing, they just answered all your questions. We'll just stay inside.
That long gap in that last voice you heard, by the way, was Miami Dolphins head football coach Brian Flores, who, standing there with his players, who all in collaboration, delivered this message in a pretty damn powerful one, Janae.
Yeah, and you know, you're right, because the final word coming from the coach, and also you think about the front office with Chris Greer also being a man of color, you wonder how, you know, this happens. Well, that's sort of how. Like, you have leadership that understands what the player's sentiments are, but more importantly, you have a locker room where people are having the conversations and making the choice to be in solidarity in this moment. I've seen that. I've seen people with dissenting opinions, people that don't agree, people with a lot of perspectives, but more so they respect that we all need to be together. And I think that's what we just saw in Miami. They're making a collective choice to do something different, and they want to see actual action.
And that group was together. And we'll see tonight, as we mentioned, both national anthems be played. You saw, and images are leaking out of the NFL having end racism in the end zone and some of those things that the Dolphins players are calling out and basically saying that's not the kind of change we need or the kind of change that helps us. And so they'll stay inside, but they'll make sure you know good and damn well why they're doing it. So a powerful, very clear statement from one of the NFL teams that we're getting ready to see kick off this weekend. So we know the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans are about to kick it off tonight. We are definitely excited, but remember what these players are asking. There's a lot of humanity underneath these helmets. Make sure you recognize that part too. Enjoy the game. We'll be back tomorrow. Check out Spain and Fitz next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.